This is Ozarks at Large for Friday, October 26th, 2012. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Support for KUAF comes from Northwest Arkansas Media, publishers of Northwest Arkansas Times, Springdale and Rogers Morning News, Benton County Daily Record, and the Northwest Arkansas edition of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, offering a blend of local, state, national, and international news, plus business and Razorback news. More information is available online at nwaonline.com.
And KUAF is also supported by the Center for Arkansas and Regional Studies at the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville, dedicated to the celebration and documentation of this region's history and culture.
Ahead on Ozarks, a summit in Springdale for educators wanting to increase Arkansas's graduation rates, and a bit of calm for a month filled with politics, fundraising and trick-or-treating, music from the Mary Baker Rumsey Steinway Piano inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio, and more.
This is the fundraising time of year for KUAF. This is our on-air fundraiser for this fall 2012, and it's a time when we encourage you to support your public radio station, KUAF. Here's the odd thing about radio. It's invisible. We are actually asking you to pay for something you can't see. Or do you? Have you ever been in the parking lot in the morning waiting to hear the end of something on Morning Edition before you get out of the car? How many times do you know that you can contribute to a conversation about a book or a movie or a current event because it's something you heard on KUAF? How many times have you looked at your kids with just a little bit more patience after listening to a story about the short lives of children in Rwanda or Somalia? Everything you hear on public radio is made possible by the contributions of people who believe in it, listeners who become contributors, all those people believing in something they can't see. If you believe in the power of public radio, you can call us right now, 800-522-5823. You can also pledge at any time, including right now, online at supportkuaf.com.
And if you've never given before and you're not quite sure how much to give, I can tell you that the average pledge is about $104, which is about $2 a week. Mm-hmm. Other ideas, if you're looking for an easy way to remember or think of what to give, you can do, if you think public radio is worth a dollar a day, you can do a buck a day, that's $365. Or maybe a buck a week, that's $52. Right. So just a couple of suggestions. But you best know what you can afford and how much public radio is worth to you. You know best what you can contribute to KUAF.
You can contribute online at supportkuaf.com. Christina Thomas last night and I on the 7 o'clock edition of Ozarks mm-hmm. at Large actually went through how long it takes to pledge online. Not very long.
Not very long?
Not very long at all. The big questions are for you, how you want to make the payment and how much. Simple. 800-522-5823 or 575-5823 if you'd like to call in your pledge of financial support right now. Also like to thank many of the restaurants who have helped
Yes.
make this fundraiser better for our volunteers who've come in.
Better for me, because I don't have to pack a lunch.
And some of those restaurants include Abon Pan, which is on the UA campus.
Greenhouse Grill.
Greenhouse Grill and U.S. Pizza Company.
Mm-hmm.
We appreciate our volunteers and the restaurants who are helping our volunteers very much.
Yes, thank you guys very, very much for helping support us.
You have a part in this, too, and a particularly easy one, really, because it just takes a phone call or a pledge online. Again, the phone numbers.
800-522-5823 or 575-5823. That's 575-KUAF. You can also pledge online anytime at supportkuaf.com. Ozarks at Large. Third District Congressman Steve Womack says his Republican colleagues in the House have been stacking up pro-growth bills like cordwood, but Democrats in the Senate won't bring them to the floor. In a debate last night with two challengers for his seat, he said businesses need some reassurance from government.
We've got a lot of money that's ready to get in the game to expand business, to create ideas and put people to work and renew American exceptionalism again, but the problem is the job creator out there just cannot compute as external input costs, cannot live in a certain climate. And that's the first thing that we need to do, is bring certainty back to the job climate.
Well, Mac faces Libertarian David Pangrack and Green Party nominee Rebecca Kennedy, but no Democrat this time after Ken Aden withdrew from the race in early July. Kennedy favored mandating businesses pay workers more, which she says would spur the economy.
If we pass the Fair Minimum Wage Act, raise the minimum wage to a living wage of $9.80 an hour, it will not only generate $60 billion in consumer spending over the next 2 years, it will create 100,000 new jobs.
But Pangrack says greater government burdens on business is not the way to go.
The government has a pretty good feel for breaking your legs, handing you a crutch, and saying, see, without the government, you wouldn't be able to walk. This has just gotten ridiculous. We need to move back to a free market economy.
The debate was broadcast on AETN and will be rebroadcast on the afternoon of Sunday, November 4th.
For about 10 years, volunteers have banded together to clean up Lake Fayetteville twice each year. The fall Lake Fayetteville cleanup is tomorrow at the lake, and John Pennington with the Washington County Cooperative Extension Service says the cleanup can have long-term impact on the lake beside just a semi-annual cleaning.
There are some types of chemicals in some of the trash that can leach out into the water. But the main thing we're trying to do is just make it look healthy and clean, and try to make it be healthy and clean for the wildlife. And then once we get people involved and people are coming out and helping to take care of an area that they like to use or enjoy for different purposes, maybe we can reach people that haven't really thought about how they need to help take care of this lake, or maybe how if they don't throw their cigarette butt out the window, that that's good for their community and good for water quality.
Pennington says the intangible benefit of watershed awareness takes years to accomplish. He says there aren't too many strange or off-the-wall things found during the cleanup, but some items found do make him wonder.
There's lots of properties that have floodplain area upstream, and if anything's left in the floodplain when the floods come, you know, it'll just grab that stuff and carry it right on in. But we can find automotive parts from vehicles and lots of other just artifacts that are really old and you wouldn't think you would still be able to find anymore.
John Pennington says more volunteers are welcome to help with tomorrow's cleanup. For more information, 444-1770.
The University of Arkansas reported today that it graduates more than 70% of its student athletes. According to numbers recently released by the NCAA, 72% of all Razorback student athletes who entered college between 2002 and 2005 finished their degrees while at the university. In addition, the most recent federal graduation rate data show that 53% of all scholarship student athletes that enrolled in 2005 graduated from the university. Looking at individual sport graduation rates, athletes from revenue-generating sports performed below the overall graduation average. Men's basketball only saw a 25% graduation success rate, while football had a 55% graduation success rate. The men's sport with the highest success rate was men's tennis with 86%, but the women's tennis team and women's golf team both had 100% success rates in graduating student athletes in these most recent rankings. And the women's sport with the lowest graduation success rate, that sport is women's track with 83%.
And this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me on the phone from his office in Fort Smith is Michael Tilley. He is the editor and publisher of the CityWire.com that covers politics, business, culture, and more for the KUAF listening area. Let's start with politics, Michael. First of all, how are you doing on this Friday?
Well, I'm doing well. I'm glad it's a Friday, and I know everyone else may be jacking it up, but I love this time of year. I love the weather.
Well, if you're a political junkie, you love this time of year, and on the CityWire.com right now, you take a look at many, if not all, of the contested legislative races in our region.
Well, I think they're conflicted also.
They are.
Yes. There, in the Fort Smith area and in the Northwest Arkansas area, there are 32 legislative districts, House and Senate, and 15 of those are contested, which I thought was interesting. 17 of those either did not have an opponent or the winner was determined in the primary. I think there's a story there that's a little bit disconcerting that we have that many uncontested. But anyway, yes, we're looking at the House races, and we'll do this through next Wednesday. And what we do, we've just asked the candidates, you know, what are your top issues? What are your legislative goals? Why do you think you're the best candidate? And we gave them also four yes, no, don't, no response answers, which we've got the most kickback, so to speak, from the candidates. And they say, well, we don't like yes or no questions. And I'm thinking, well, when you vote, you're voting yes or no. I mean, so when you go, if you make it to the floor of the House or the Senate and you vote, you don't get a chance to elaborate on your vote. It's simply yes or no. So interesting folks. I think they want to spin their yes or no answer.
And
out there.
And of course, this could be an election on November 6th of historic proportions in Arkansas.
Yes, and thanks for pointing that out. I meant to go into that. This is why we're doing that. You know, it's likely that Republicans will capture the House, Arkansas House of Representatives, and possible that they'll capture the Arkansas Senate. Even if they capture the House, that'll be the first time since Reconstruction. That's an historic political event. And being a political junkie, I just sometimes politics can be nasty, but it's kind of nice to witness this. Not that I'm out for GOP control. It's just interesting. If you're a political junkie, this change in dynamic is just great to watch.
If you are the world's largest retailer, you can flex your muscles. And this week, Walmart flexed some muscles when they were talking to suppliers from around the world.
Yes, and from around the world. You know, they made this announcement in Beijing on Thursday, and essentially Mike Duke, Walmart Stores CEO, said, hey, we're serious about the sustainability thing, and if you're not serious by 2017, essentially giving them 5 years, then you'll risk losing shelf space. I mean, they stopped short of saying we're going to drop you. And, of course, it's 5 years out. Walmart has changed policies before. It's not written in stone, but it got everyone's attention, that's for sure. And Walmart rolled out the sustainability index, and essentially what they're asking their suppliers to do is to reduce their emissions, reduce their energy use, and it's a lot of people praised Walmart for being so environmentally sensitive on this, but Walmart also, everything they do has an economic side, and they know that to do some of these things, you'll eventually reduce your cost. And so they rolled out this index in 2009. It evaluates, I think, about 107 categories. If it's not 107 exactly, that's close. But what's interesting is Walmart has roughly 55,000 active suppliers around the world, and it's estimated only about 500 suppliers are actively participating in this index. So I think Walmart saw that and saw that they wanted a little more participation, so they've kind of laid down the law, so to speak.
Sales tax collection numbers came out this week, and for many cities and communities, the numbers are up.
Yes, Kyle, I just continue to be amazed at Bentonville. Their sales tax collections were up almost. It was like 16.9 something, almost 17%. Now, obviously, you have Walmart there, but I think what we're hearing from Bentonville business owners, Bentonville officials, is just Crystal Bridges just bringing so many folks in. And I think Crystal Bridges, the recent estimate is that on a slow day, they have about 900 visitors, and on a busy day, it's up to 4,000.
Hmm.
That's quite a few people coming into what is still a relatively small town there in northwest Arkansas. But Rogers had 10% gains. Springdale, Fayetteville were all up, very healthy gains. Siloam Springs was down a little over 2%. That was the only decrease. And even in Fort Smith, sales tax collections were, and these were primarily back-to-school sales also, but sales tax collections in Fort Smith were up just a little over 4%. So it's a good indication that consumer spending is not, either is not dead or, you know, possibly rebounding. We've seen enough in northwest Arkansas to think that there's a good trend, and hopefully we'll see that in the Fort Smith area as well.
And, you know, when you talk about Bentonville, yes, Crystal Bridges is now almost a year old, and the numbers are still there. But it's this sort of exponential growth because you have C21 that's going to open up, and these other things that are happening, there's reason to believe that while many people will have seen Crystal Bridges after 2 or 3 years, other things that are coming there because of Crystal Bridges will keep some of this sales tax action going.
Yeah, I think that's very much the case. I'm trying to remember who it was explained this to me, and I feel bad for not being able to remember, but they suggested that Crystal Bridges, you know, Walmart and its supplier community creates its own little circle of economies, and it was suggested to me that maybe Crystal Bridges, on a, obviously on a smaller scale, is doing somewhat the same thing. You have the hotels and the restaurants and the other things open up because of the 900 people a day or the 4,000 people a day that are coming to Bentonville. And it's not only Bentonville. I suspect that other cities are getting that, especially Rogers. And if the cities of Springdale and Rogers and Fayetteville aren't somehow trying to market to those people who are coming in to see Crystal Bridges, then shame on them. I suspect they are, but, I mean, I just can't imagine they wouldn't be doing that.
Finally, the redheaded stranger, Willie Nelson, is coming back to Fort Smith.
Yes, he's on the road again, back to the fort. you know, I think... I'm glad he's here. My wife's a big fan. Last time we saw him, he was in Eureka Springs there at the very small, intimate event. So hopefully we'll be able to have a chance to get back there. And the Fort Smith Convention Center, by the way, has improved their revenue. The revenue's up year-to-date a little over 44%, and I think many of our listeners remember that nasty little prepared food tax debate in which folks said the convention center needs to be operated better before they'd consider a tax. Well, maybe here you go.
What's really interesting about that report is when you look at what were the highest earning events, you talk about an eclectic list of things that have happened in a venue.
Right. I mean, Jehovah's Witnesses.
Hispanic Catholic Charismatic Conference.
Yes.
Symphony. Blue Man Group.
Yeah, that's a good mix, and I think that's a healthy mix. It's healthy to have that kind of diversion.
It is.
There, and hopefully they can keep it up. I mean, they're still losing money, but most everyone knows a convention center, no matter, unless it's built in Las Vegas, but typically a convention center does not make money. It's there to bring people into an area and generate revenue around it.
So you're saying that it's generally kind of, in business terms, a lost leader for a city?
Yeah, it's exactly a lost leader for a city. Now, you want to make sure it's not bleeding money, which possibly it was, but, I mean, this is a good report. It's being operated better. They've kept expenses down. And they're still bringing stuff in. There was a concern that if they cut budgets and cut expenses, it wouldn't be utilized as well. But so far, so good.
Well, have a pleasant jacket-filled weekend, Michael.
All right, and go Hogs.
And go Hogs. Michael Tilley is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com that covers politics, culture, business, and more for the entire listening area.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
I'm Kyle Kellums.
And this is our fall on-air fundraiser. The number is again 800-522-5823 or 575-5823. You can also pledge online at supportkuaf.com.
Yes, you can.
Now, you've probably noticed that the news on KUAF is really more than just news. Sure, you get the headlines, but you probably tune in each day for more than the headlines. I know on Ozarks at Large, we have such an eclectic mix of stories. It's definitely more than things you would just read in the daily headlines in the local newspaper or
right
on the here on the 6 o'clock news. Definitely very different things.
Yes, polar opposites, perhaps.
But that is why you've chosen KUAF for your news source. You get longer stories. With insight into why things happen. I know that's something I often get to talk to other reporters, that I really enjoy the fact that on radio you have more time to tell a story. You get a better understanding of the way your life might be affected by what's in the headlines. You get information you can use and information you can share with friends and family. With Ozarks at Large, we make it very easy to share that information with our website.
Right. You can go to the website, get the individual stories if you like, and you can share them on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
Google. You can send out a tweet.
You just email the link to your right. friends, and everybody can hear what you've heard.
Right.
It's this kind of in-depth reporting that comes to you every day on KUAF, but all of this is not free.
Mm-hmm.
We're here to tell you today that your financial support of KUAF helps pay for this kind of reporting, and your call right now will make a difference. So you please can call us at 575-KUAF or 800-522-KUAF. Your support in the past and support from listeners just like you that's helped make the news on KUAF as good as it is today. Your support also lets us know that the news and programs like Morning Edition and Ozarks at Large and All Things Considered, they're valuable to you, and it's important that we keep them on the air. Taking that extra step from being a listener to becoming a member is a little like going beyond the headlines. It's that extra step that makes a difference for you and for KUAF. So you can call now with your financial support if you haven't done so yet by calling 575-5823 or 800-522-5823. If it's easier, that's 800-522-KUAF. Also can pledge online at supportkuaf.com.
One of the items that we have on today's show that really could not be summarized at all in a headline is later an artist, Robert Skaggs, and a musician and composer, Dan Knight, are combining on a show tomorrow night in Bella Vista at First United Methodist Church. Mm-hmm. They were in the Furman Garner Performance Studio yesterday, explaining how they are kindred spirits when it comes to creativity and where they think creativity may come from. There's no way you could get it in a headline.
No.
And there's no way that most broadcast formats would ever touch it. But we give them a venue to talk, and I hope you'll find their conversation very interesting.
But also, we give them a venue and other local musicians to perform.
Right.
And you don't have that luxury with other forms of media. You don't have either the media itself to portray that, you know, with print, for example, or with television, you may not have the time to be able to do that.
But we welcome both visiting and local musicians to come in and play the Mary Baker Rumsey piano or bring their guitar, whatever.
Whatever they want.
And here's the thing. We get to do it as often as we like.
I know. It's great fun.
It is. And we appreciate that you have supported Ozarks at Large enough to let us grow and have the time.
And have the space to do it.
Right.
And the equipment.
That's right. And provide this stage. We appreciate it. If you appreciate our commitment to local arts, local literature, as well as local news, please remember that your contributions keep us on the air and keep us growing. 800-522-5823.
575-5823.
Or supportkuaf.com.
And thanks.
And this is Ozarks at Large. The state's first Graduation for All Summit was held at the Jones Center in Springdale yesterday. It was attended by regional public school superintendents, principals, teachers, staff, and about a dozen student representatives. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich covered the event yesterday morning, and she brings us this report card.
The novel Graduation for All Summit was co-hosted by the Northwest Arkansas Education Services Cooperative based in Farmington. It serves 15 member school districts plus one charter school. But Dr. Jim Rollins, superintendent of Springdale Public Schools, was key to facilitating the gathering.
Well, let me first of all say we've got about 70,000 public school students in this region. About 21,000 of those kids are in the Springdale School District. So it's a real privilege for members of our staff to be here today. And our goal is to try to be learners ourselves so that we can improve services to kids. We're on a positive trajectory, really trying to improve graduation rate. We're working toward getting ours to about 94%. And that's a major stretch for any school district in the state. So there's plenty to learn in that process. And I think this graduation summit today will give us an opportunity to visit with all the schools in the region, learn what's working, maybe learn where the real gaps are, and see if we can work together to close them.
By law, all American high schools must continue to cut the dropout rate. That's why across the nation, educators and administrators are joining forces to figure out how to meet that difficult challenge. The Northwest Arkansas Council was the other co-host at this gathering. The private nonprofit organization collaborates with businesses, civic, and educational leaders to improve regional economic development, infrastructure, and scholastic excellence. Kim Davis is the council's director of education and workforce.
You know, something that the council has constantly been working on for the last couple of years is heightening the level of conversation around the importance of education throughout the region. The council has always seen it, and we see it more than ever as an economic issue, not just an educational issue. And so today we are here to talk about how do we work with our kids who are struggling How do we put in places plans that will allow them to thrive, considering Common Core standards that are coming our way and the technology that's available to us? How do we do that in a way that not only brightens their lives, but continues to grow our region in an effective and efficient way?
Arkansas Commissioner of Education, Dr. Tom Kimbrell, traveled up from his quarters in Little Rock to deliver the plenary keynote, listen to educators, and share his ideas on how to improve Arkansas graduation rates.
Well, just an overall picture of Arkansas, we lose about 25% of the students who enter the ninth grade. You know, as kids enter our high schools, and typically that's at the ninth grade level, that we're not engaging 100% of those students in their learning, and for whatever various reasons, they're leaving our schools. And they're becoming what many would term high school dropouts. And we know that that's not what's in the best interest of one, them as individuals, citizens of our communities, and citizens of our state. They're not ready for what they need to do to be productive adults, to be informed citizens and make choices about what they can do to make our state a better state.
Dr. Kimbrell says measurement methods are constantly being adjusted for graduation rates and debated to account for diverse student abilities, but Arkansas ranks just above the national graduation average.
In our graduation rate, the average is less than 70% nationally, and we're quite, you know, depending on which one of those you look at, the NGA rate is in the mid 70s. The former graduation rate we used to use is around 80. But, you know, again, we think there's some problems with the NGA, and we're going to work on those.
To the state's credit, Commissioner Kimbrell says classrooms in Arkansas are undergoing a revolution. Arkansas school districts this year were released from the constraints of the federal law known as No Child Left Behind, reauthorized a decade ago by the Bush administration as the Elementary and Secondary Education Act. The law set strict thresholds for student achievement, holding states and schools accountable for progress. Instead, Arkansas, along with 45 other states, have left NCLB behind and adopted Common Core state standards, currently being rolled out kindergarten through eighth grade. Common Core uses technology-based interdisciplinary project peer learning to instill college and career readiness and create collaborative learners, thinkers, and problem solvers.
In the original No Child Left Behind, there were targets and goals that each state had to set. In the flexibility that we've received under ESEA, which is another acronym for No Child Left Behind, you know, that's this administration's term, we were able to look at the gap between students that fit into what we call the Targeted Assistance Gap Group, which are the students that are English language challenge, students with disabilities, and students that come from low socioeconomic families. So they make up this group that we have, and it's a rather large group. It's almost 50%. 55% of our students in our state belong to that group. What we find is that that group, because of those challenges and what they bring to our classrooms, are more likely to not finish high school. And so what we were able to propose to the U.S. Department of Education is we want to close that gap. We want to work harder to bring their graduation rate up faster, but we also want to make sure that our whole student group, those others that don't have those challenges, are also improving their graduation rate, because even students that don't bring those things to the classroom, we still see some of them dropping out of school. So, yeah, we've got some ambitious goals, but they're really trying to close that gap is the major goal. And then we're trying to encourage every school, even those high-performing school districts that have, and we have some school districts that have 95 and 96% graduation rate, we're challenging them, let's move it up a point and a half. Let's move it up a half a point a year. Let's have a goal to continue to improve and not be satisfied with good being good enough. Let's be great, let's be better every year.
And as Dr. Kimbrell pointed out during his opening talk, research indicates that students currently 24 years and younger will not only frequently change jobs in their lifetimes, they will likely change careers. So must be prepared to tool up multiple times.
Relearning, continuous learning. We have to give them the skills to read to learn, to computate to understand. It's all of those skills that successful adults today, successful people in our world have always been able to do. And that is look at the situation, learn what you need to learn to be successful in the moment, and then also understand that you have to continue that learning. You can't stop learning about what you do and what the world's expecting. So it's not about a set of math concepts or those things that is that fundamental, deep-seated conceptual learning that a student needs. It's how they internalize that need to retool and relearn in their life. Every day, every week, every month, every year.
Dr. Tom Kimbrell also encouraged educators to instill compassion and social responsibility among students, to personalize learning, and to make sure every student has at least one adult in their school culture to mentor them. Among the superintendents and experts presenting were students to provide their views and their perspectives, like 12th grader Priscilla Valesco and Manuel Hernandez.
So here I'm here today just to, you know, help people out and, you know, show them that we can make it and graduate. So,
what would be the best practice that could be done in high schools today to help students graduate?
I think more attention individually, because some students learn differently than others at different paces. So I think that, you know, if teachers would focus kind of, not necessarily one by one, just in smaller groups and kind of learn how they're learning and go at their pace, I think it would help a lot of students out.
And you?
Yeah, I think the same. I think that if students will see that, you know, the teachers do care about you, I think that, you know, the student's going to try and not let the teacher down, and he's going to try to, you know, he's going to be like, well, you know, my teacher cares about me. I'm not going to let him down. I'm going to try.
Arkansas counts 468,000 public school students in 239 school districts. Of those, 284 are high schools. And many of those high school teachers and administrators will likely look at the proceedings from today's graduation summit. Arkansas Education Commissioner Tom Kimbrell plans to introduce model legislation to encourage public school innovation in order to discover new ways to boost achievement in Arkansas. And to that end, he announced the formation of an Office for Public Education Innovation to be based in Northwest Arkansas. More about that later. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
This is a Friday edition of Ozarks at Large during a particularly busy time of the year. So busy, in fact, that we'll have to call Becca Martin Brown of Northwest Arkansas Newspapers at her office for our regular Friday update on what's happening all over the region this weekend. That conversation in just a moment on Ozarks at Large.
They come from the bowels of hell, a transformed race of walking dead, zombies guided by a master plan for complete domination of the Earth, Plan 9 from outer space.
We have not lost our marbles during the fundraiser. That is
not
Becca,
yet.
Not yet. That is Becca Martin Brown, who joins us on the phone. She's the features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers. I'm Kyle Kellens, by the way.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
And Becca, the reason you are quoting one of the worst movies ever made, Plan 9 from outer space?
Well, we're talking about this because there's a wonderful version of Plan 9 from Outer Space on stage this weekend at Arts Live Theater in Fayetteville. It turns out, according to Mark Landon Smith, the executive director of Arts Live, that the movie is in the public domain.
So anyone can do with it as they choose.
Can take it and play with it. So he's taken the story, which essentially is about a group of extraterrestrials who are trying to keep humans from creating a doomsday weapon. So as part of their plan, they raise human dead to do their bidding. And so he's incorporated some anachronisms like Miley Cyrus and Justin Bieber, and it should be really fun.
And that is going to be at the Arts Live Theater building on Sing Avenue in Fayetteville.
Yes. Did you know that the film was not a huge success? So this is an Ed Wood film, and it was released in 1957. Not a huge success until it was declared the worst movie ever made in 1980.
And then it started showing up at movie houses and film festivals, midnight showings.
Kind of a cult classic thing.
Yes.
Exactly. Mike Thomas is directing.
Oh, fantastic.
And he said the thing you have to try to teach the kids is sometimes bad is good and sometimes worse is better.
I like that.
And that everything must be done with sincerity. If you don't know the movie, you can actually watch it on YouTube, and then you'll be prepared. Show times are 7 o'clock today, 2 and 7 on Saturday, and 2 on Sunday, and tickets are $6 to $8. You will get way more than your money's worth.
Excellent.
I like it.
Also going on this weekend, Hobbs State Park is hosting its Living Forest with Mother Nature introducing her forest friends.
Oh.
The Benton County School of the Arts High School is doing Beauty and the Beast.
Mm-hmm.
That's at 7 today, 2 and 7 tomorrow, and 2 on Sunday. The new Tableside Theater Troupe in Bentonville is doing a new play. They're doing this as dinner theater at Tavola Trattoria.
Right.
Called Bubbles the Clown's Last Giggle.
Huh.
Don't know what it's about, but I want to go there. 7 o'clock today and tomorrow.
Well, I'm going to back you up a second and ask about this company because I've not heard of it. Have you, Kyle?
I think Becca mentioned it once before briefly. Tell us what you know, Becca.
It's just a group of folks in Bentonville that have decided that they want to do dinner theater. They think the area is ready for it, and this is their second production at Tavola,
mm-hmm.
where you just buy a dinner ticket, get food,
oh.
and the play kind of takes place in motion around the dining room.
That sounds like a great experience.
Yeah, it does.
I don't know how much tickets are, but I'm sure it would be great fun and worth it. The Lyric Theater in Harrison is presenting Frankenstein.
Yes, they are.
7 today and tomorrow, 2 Sunday, and 7 again on Halloween Day. Art Center of the Ozarks has gotten all of its new parts together.
Have they? Good.
Or at least they have enough new parts together to do theater.
Good.
Fair enough.
It's going to be beautiful. If you have a sneak to peek, the new colors, the new carpet, the new stage drapes, the new seating, gorgeous. And this weekend they have on stage a show called Later Life,
mm-hmm.
a love story, kind of a middle-aged love story, at 7:30 today and tomorrow and 3 o'clock Sunday, and tickets for that are $10 to $20. And tonight at the Walton Arts Center, LA Theater Works presents Pride and Prejudice.
Kyle's going.
I will be there.
And I'm looking forward to a report on that.
I can't wait to see and hear this.
And Saturday night, the Arkansas Philharmonic starts its season.
Yes, they do.
A concert called Classic Masters with cellist Allison Eldridge and our own from the university, Stephen Gates.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens at 7:30 Saturday at the Arend Arts Center in Bentonville, and tickets are $25.
A full plate this weekend.
With dessert.
Oh. Oh, yes. Okay. Very good.
Thank you, Becca. Becca Martin-Brown is features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Hello, this is Robert Ginsberg, your host for Shades of Jazz, every Friday night from 10 till midnight, and now also Saturday nights from 10 till 1 a.m. That's right, an all-new Saturday edition of Shades of Jazz, not a repeat program, new programming. This Friday, we'll hear music from Jane Bennett, Hilario Duran, Dave Holland, Ahmad Jamal, and more. And Saturday night, as part of the KUAF Fall Fundraiser, I will feature musicians performing live in the studio as we ask for your support. That will be Yaniv Taubenhaus and a host of great regional jazz artists performing right here at KUAF from 10 to 1 on Saturday. So tune in both nights for great jazz right here on KUAF.
And this is Ozarks at Large on KUAF 91.3 FM, your public radio station. This is the on-air fundraising portion of our fall fundraiser for 2012. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Creative.
And here are the phone numbers that we're asking you to use if you want to call in a pledge of financial support if you haven't done so already. 800-522-5823 or 575-5823. You can pledge online.
At supportkuaf.com.
Local programming, as you might guess, is near and dear to the hearts of Antoinette, myself, and
yes, because Ozarks at Large is all local. I mean, it's all produced by us
right.
locally, and the people we talk to are local listeners, often,
right?
At least local residents.
Right. But we're not the only local game in town.
We are not.
And by that, I mean on KUAF, because Robert Ginsberg, mm-hmm. now two nights a week with Shades of Jazz.
I know. It's very exciting.
He's very excited, and we're very excited for him. You have Mike Shirky, who's been doing his show for more than 30 years.
The Pick and Post. Mm-hmm.
You have
Daniel Estes.
Right. Who
Goodnight
does
Jazz.
Midnight Tonight. There is
Paul Kelso.
Yes. Generic Blues Show tonight as well. And there's also Katie Hendrickson.
On Sundays.
With Sunday Symphonies and every day from 11 to 12 mm-hmm. with Of Note.
So lots of local.
Which we think is the wave of the future.
I think so. I mean, I think it's something that sets us apart. I think it's something that is valuable because there is so much information you can get out there now with the internet and that sort of thing. I can, find out the latest headlines from Great Britain if I want to.
Right.
So there's a lot of international and national news being covered by bigger companies, bigger organizations. But I think is in danger maybe of getting left behind is local news.
Right. I think that we're not your only source for local
no.
events, of course, because
Mm-mm.
my consumption includes the citywire.com, mm-hmm. the Fayetteville Flyer, Northwest Arkansas Newspapers, the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, most of the local newscasts.
Right.
I go out and seek it out, not to mention Twitter feeds of people around town.
Right.
But I think that we have this opportunity, an hour every day,
right,
to bring you stories that you can't bring to you in 20 seconds or 2 minutes or 4 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the luxury of time and the luxury of a hardworking staff. We're dedicated to bringing you the sounds, opinions, and events of your area.
What I also like, too, is that we can really get into some maybe more serious issues. The poverty series that we recently ran, that Ithi Agnihotri-Madoka
right.
put together.
6 parts, 5 days.
Uh-huh. I mean, that's something that a lot of people wouldn't be able to do.
Right.
And so I was quite pleased that we had the opportunity to do something like that, especially on poverty that's such a big issue here in the state.
And we hope to do more of that
mm-hmm.
in the future. It takes time and resources.
It takes time and resources.
We understand that. Yeah, and we know you understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the reasons we're able to do that now, that we've been able to expand Ozarks to a 6-day-a-week
right.
Venue is because of your past support and hopefully your continued support.
Continued support. And if you would like to continue support or even begin supporting us, you can give us a call with your pledge of support at 575-5823 or 800-522-5823. That's 800-522-KUAF. You can also pledge online at any time at supportkuaf.com.
You are supporting not just Talk of the Nation, All Things Considered and Fresh Air, but Shades of Jazz, The Pick and Post, Goodnight Jazz, Generic Blues Show, Of Note, Sunday Symphony, and Ozarks at Large.
Of course, Ozarks at Large.
And thank you very much. This is Ozarks at Large. During our on-air fundraisers at KUAF, the environment here can be hectic. Phones ring, members of the staff are working odd hours, and everybody in the building has more to do than usual. Yesterday, there was some calm in the middle of the turbulence, even when a trio of fire engines barreled past our studio. Dan Knight and Robert Skaggs sat down inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio. Dan is a pianist and composer. Robert is an artist. Tomorrow night, they'll combine their talents for a concert art exhibition at First United Methodist Church in Bella Vista. Though they're kindred spirits, they've known each other for just a couple of years. Robert Skaggs, he's the artist, says they were introduced by a mutual friend, Lawrence Ziering.
I've got sort of a halfway reputation of being a Monet expert. And I've done some things with Dr. Ziering with about Monet, and when Dan came up with the music based on the Monet Gardens, Larry introduced us.
Right.
And I think we talked for 5 minutes and decided we'd known each other forever.
Yeah, it was just instant.
Yeah,
it pretty much was.
Robert Skaggs is a Rogers native and lives in Northwest Arkansas now, but there was a significant time away from home. He joined the military after high school and then studied at, graduated from, and later taught at the School of the Art Institute in Chicago. In all, he was there for more than 40 years. But he says he was never, ever interested in art as a child. He grew up north of Rogers in the 1920s and 30s, and says he would spend hours, sometimes days, alone and barefoot, exploring a Northwest Arkansas terrain that was far more remote than what we know now. He says he placed his first ever phone call after he joined the Navy, and it was during his service in Hawaii that he remembers seeing a small Van Gogh in a museum in Honolulu. That altered his life.
And it was very silent around me for a long time. That story went deaf for a while. Dan says he hears music when he gets around. I go deaf. I get around paintings like that. I can't hear a thing. And the Van Gogh was the first thing that I can remember. And it's a tiny little thing. It's probably 8.5 by 11, almost a piece of typing paper. It's a funny little thing of a grain field with just some clouds and stuff.
For much of his work, Robert has painted the land where he grew up and now lives again. In a 1986 review of an exhibition of his work, the Chicago Tribune wrote, "Every aspect of his art bespeaks tight control. It is not the kind of painting that gets much attention in Chicago, though no one here does it better." But in just the last few years, Robert Skaggs says his art has flipped. He's no longer painting realistically, but using colors and space to create mesmerizing impressionist images of land located near Pea Ridge. He says the time of this flip was about the time that Dan Knight, the composer and pianist, showed up.
And I think the first conversation we had, we found out that he was using space in the music, the rest and the silences and stuff in music, much the way I use white spaces in paintings. And I let the first conversation, which might have been over in 15 minutes, lasted for about, two or three hours.
Yeah, it did. I think it really did.
And
yeah.
We've just sort of gone from there.
They speak a mutual language, even though Dan's childhood was far different and decades later. While Robert wasn't introduced to art until after his adolescence, Dan was taking piano lessons as a young boy in Ottumwa, Iowa, where he was, according to his own description, the loudest little kid on East 2nd Street. He says a motorcycle accident and the subsequent near-death experience when he was 18 changed him. He says hardwired him to be more creative. Both Robert and Dan say they've learned over time how to let creativity work through them.
When you get to a certain level, you understand that you're not the creator of whatever process you're involved in. The piece of artwork, if you're a musician, if you do a composition, that they really don't come from you, they come through you. So the thing that happens when we get to that kind of level and you meet somebody else who thinks like that, then all of a sudden we understand that we can go to this thing, creativity, or I think it's God. I think it's where it comes from.
Dan Knight will perform Saturday night inside the First United Methodist Church in Bella Vista, where an exhibit of some of Robert's latest works is up through November 11th. Dan's compositions for the concert tomorrow night have been influenced by Robert's art.
And he and I talked, and I got really excited about the whole process because I found somebody who thought the same way I did. And then I thought, well, you know, maybe I'm not nuts. This is well. Then I figured out I actually really am, but I just found another guy who was crazy like me. And
you don't have the score on crazy people.
It's true. So I said, okay, well, you know, we just kind of and I think the idea just kind of flourished, and I think we both had it at once. We kind of said, well, you know, Robert kind of said, well, what about Four Seasons? And I thought, yeah. Because we talked about the pieces I had written about my visit to Monet's garden, and
which I love,
and so we'd both been to Giverny, we'd both been to France, and taken a look at the place, and the thing I think is really important to both of us is that things have to relate to people.
Dan says for one of the compositions he's written and will perform tomorrow night, he's taken the first 8 measures of a favorite hymn, "In the Garden." Turn those 8 measures basically backward.
It sounds like this. Isn't that kind of cool?
And that leads to his new work, heard here as he played it yesterday on the Mary Baker Rumsey Steinway piano inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio. Thank you. Dan Knight performing on the Mary Baker Rumsey Steinway Piano in the Furman Garner Performance Studio yesterday at KUAF. The concert and art exhibition at the First United Methodist Church in Bella Vista is titled To Everything There Is a Season. It begins Saturday night at 7. The artwork of Robert Skaggs that is up inside the First United Methodist Church in Bella Vista will remain on the walls through November 11th. This is Ozarks at Large.
KUAF is supported by Urban Jungle Tropical Plant Care and Rental, offering a variety of indoor plants for residential or commercial space and serving Northwest Arkansas with maintenance-free month-to-month care and services. Photos and information available at urbanjunglenwa.com or 466-5033. A listener-supported service of the Department of Journalism and Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas, this is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Rogers, Fort Smith, Evening Shade.
Evening Shade. Mm-hmm. Do you remember the situation comedy called Evening Shade?
No.
Burt Reynolds, Lonnie Anderson? It was on CBS.
Might have been before my time.
You were young. Because it was on in the early 90s.
Okay.
It was the number one rated situation comedy for a season or two.
Oh, well, this particular place is near Waldron, so I don't know if it's based on that, but...
Well, there are three different communities in Arkansas that claim the moniker Evening Shade, and so it was never kind of clear which one, if any, but it was based in Arkansas.
I didn't know that.
I know a lot of stuff. Hey, Talk of the Nation is up next. One more program that you support with your financial contribution, 800-522-5823.
Or support KUAF.com.
Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF, thus is supported by listeners and contributors like you. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Christina Thomas will be with me Sunday morning for a weekend edition of Ozarks at Large. You, me, back together here on Monday.
Absolutely.
Have a great weekend and stay warm.